Dave and Mahoney. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. We got ourselves some good news and some bad news to start the show today. And it being a Friday, I feel like we have really amped it up with the good news and the bad news today. Mahoney, what would you like to start with first?
Dave, let's go with the bad news.
Yeah, well, the bad news. The season is over for the Vegas Golden Knights. But I don't know if that's really bad news, man. It's been such an incredible inaugural season. They brought so much unity and hope to the city, and it was just everything that you possibly could have imagined and so much more. No, it didn't have the absolute fairy tale, ridiculous ending of winning the Stanley Cup, which would have been preposterous by almost every single account. But they were in the Stanley Cup Finals. They put up a great fight, just couldn't quite get it done. The Capitals in their 44th year get the victory. Congratulations to them. They seem like a very classy team.
Yeah.
Especially that young lady who put her boobs on the glass at the end of the game.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was, I'm pretty sure that was a Caps fan. She was sitting right next to a guy in a Caps jersey.
All the Caps fans had rushed down to the glass, obviously, because the Golden Knights fans were like, yeah, you guys go ahead, whatever.
You have a good time.
But she was standing right next to, like you said, Mahoney, a whole group of people in Caps jerseys. She was wearing an all-white dress and just, put them right in the glass.
Boobies on the glass.
And I loved how all of the guys on the team turned away from the Stanley Cup to look over at the chick with them that had actually put them on the glass.
I mean, she was in good shape. I ain't mad at that.
Yeah.
I mean, they look better than mine.
Well, I mean, if they're good boobs.
Did you see the video?
I didn't see the video.
You haven't seen the video yet?
No.
All right. Well, we'll have to show you the video, and then we can get your professional opinion on whether or not they were good boobs or not. But Gerard Gallant, after the game, obviously pretty upset with the way that things went. Nonetheless, congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights.
We had an outstanding year, but it doesn't feel like it right now. So, you know, obviously we'll get to that in a few days' time, but I didn't talk to the team after the game. They don't want to hear me after the game. They're pretty disappointed and dejected, obviously, but, you know, we threw it out all. You know, we worked hard tonight. We competed hard and just couldn't beat that team. They were a good hockey team. They deserved a Stanley Cup. They were the better team in the series, and they played great hockey.
Is there anything you have to say about just what happened in the third period, or just something?
I don't
want to
talk about the game, Shang. The game's over. They were the better team. They won, so they deserve to win. They played great hockey.
Very classy, I thought. The Vegas Golden Knights players, obviously, all lining up for the handshake afterwards, all seemed very sincere. But I also thought a very nice show just from the city of Las Vegas. Just, you know, big round of applause. Nobody really wants to win on somebody else's ice, right? Because you want to win at home, surrounded by your fans. And nobody certainly wants to see another team come in and win the championship in your house. But I thought that Vegas did a very nice job of just showing respect to who was the better team in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw the fans in the arena, you know, break into Go Knights Go after it got done. You know, nice little salute to all the players for all their hard work for, you know, just an incredible season that has done such a good job of uniting this city. You know, like, we've had things to get behind before, but nothing like this. And, you know, hold your heads high. You know, I hope we do. I hope we go through with the parade. I'll 100% be there. I don't go to crap. But I will.
You'll go to the parade.
I will go to that parade.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people. It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to want to go. But
I'm already complaining about an imaginary parade,
Dave,
that you might go to.
It's going to be hot outside. It's June. I would like to read what you wrote last night. I thought you wrote a very nice little note.
Okay. Sure.
About the Las Vegas Golden Knights right after the game finished up. Dave said, "We are so damn proud of you guys. We have loved every last bit of your joy, unity, and excitement we have all been able to share the past 8 months. We cannot support you, or cannot wait to support you again next year, even louder and even prouder. Hashtag Vegas Born." And I thought that was summed it up very nicely. I was working on one too while you were doing it. And I was like, yeah, that was
better.
That was a little better. Yeah. I was like, hey man, that was a cool season, guys. Love you.
Jesus.
Heart Mahoney.
So some good news to start the show today as well.
Let's hear that.
Wynn and Encore are the first strip on the, or for the first resort rather, on the strip to say, you know what? Screw these parking fees.
Good.
Wynn Resorts announced yesterday they will no longer charge hotel guests for parking starting July 1. So hotel guests, they'll get the parking included with that resort fee that everyone ends up paying anyhow. Mm-hmm. As far as for people that are locals, if you go to any of the casinos and you spend $50, which every single time that I walk into
any
a casino,
of those places,
I'm spending more than $50 anyhow, you get validated and your parking is free as well. So
I like
isn't that great?
That is a good compromise there. It's not perfect. It's not, but it's a step in the right direction. You know, the only current casinos that I think it's free to park at on the Strip south of Sahara are what, the Palazzo or the Venetian, and maybe the SLS. I don't know if the SLS.
I don't know if the SLS has.
I don't know. You're not parking at the SLS 99% of the time. That's why they're redoing it again. Second one, you know, I'm glad that they're doing this. Now we just need to see MGM and Caesars get behind this, and then you know, because for me, since they've instituted this, I'm MIA from the Strip.
Are you?
I don't care. Yeah. Like, I don't want to go down there and get fleeced again. Or I will go to, that's not true. I've been down to the Venetian and the Palazzo because they don't charge for parking. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, MGM was the first one to start charging for parking at its 11 Strip resorts. And that started back in June of 2016. And others followed. It all started with non-residents, people that didn't live here in Las Vegas. And I love that somebody is actually reversing this. Because I hope that this becomes a trend.
Because there's a lot of money here in the city. You know, you got 2 million plus people who are your potential customers. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to go down to downtown somewhere. And I'm going to go to Town Square. Or they just redid the Galleria. I'm going to go to the Galleria. And, you know, I'm going to spend my money.
Or just a Stations Casino or whatever.
Yeah, or the Palms or whatever else that's happening that is for free. So I like this. I think that this is a reaction to, we saw decreased revenues. You know, the LA Times put out an article, I want to say about a month or two ago, that, you know, revenues are down right now, and they think that parking has a play with that. You know, that and the, you know, the excessive room taxes that were, you know, just lumping it on top of everything. Here's a $40 room that's going to end up costing you, you know, $180 a night.
Yeah, the last thing that Las Vegas hotel rooms want to become is the Spirit Airlines of hotel rooms, right? Where it's like, oh, it's cheap. It's only, you know, $100. And then, oh, but there's going to be a $60 resort fee. And then there's going to be a $30 parking charge. And you're like, come on, man.
And then we got to pay for the stadium tax. And that doesn't have parking.
Relax. The
stadium's you know what? I like how it just ended up being
it's
the parking.
It's always somehow
we weren't even talking
whether
about
or not
that.
Somebody's going to make Mahoney walk.
Were we not just talking about parking?
No, I'm
we
just
were.
Talking about like parking
the,
as far as like parking
that
in the stadium.
The one time.
Parking fees.
It all ties together. It's cyclical. Time is a flat circle.
So the good news is Wynn and Encore no longer charging for parking. They're going to roll those back.
Good.
So angry.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
All right, it's time to get into the voicemail, but it's not easy to do already. It's not even 6:30 yet, and Sylvia is blatantly sexually harassing Mahoney.
Sexually harassing.
Didn't you just say that you were going to do something to his junk?
Because he said he was going to punch me in the face.
He did not say that.
Yes, he did.
Never once said that.
He said that?
Yes.
Swear on your mother's life.
Yes.
What?
He was going to punch me in the face.
I said that.
You said that? Yeah.
No.
No, he didn't.
No, it is not. What? No. No, we were talking about a new segment on the show called I'm Not Crying, You're Crying.
That's coming up a little bit later.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, I will blank your blank.
What? Yeah.
Yep.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What happened to Tracy the engineer? Had he turned over like a new leaf and decided to be nice to everyone now? Or is he just not around anymore because he's under a bridge asking people riddles?
Message deleted.
he is still around. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of the same thing with Tracy. Day in and day out, right? I mean, like, he's normally in a bad mood about whatever is going on with whatever frustration he's dealing with. And so we just try to temper that, because if we had him on every day, I'm sure everyone would be like, why do you have this guy on who's just complaining about, I don't know.
You got to sprinkle
Transformers.
Tracy. Yeah, sprinkle him around.
He's always, you know, his job is not a job of joy and excitement like ours, I would say. You know, when somebody's coming to him, it's because something's broken.
Right.
And you got to fix it. So it's like everybody who comes to you needs something.
They have something that's wrong.
Gone wrong, yeah.
And you're the one that's supposed to fix it, and they're already frustrated, and they don't want to come to you. But Tracy isn't exactly a people person, and that's okay.
Really?
Like, he's an engineer. He's still around, though, trust me.
Yeah, they're
and
not
in fact, these past couple of days, he's been in a better mood.
Yeah, he's been in a pretty good mood the last few weeks. Yeah,
maybe we'll bring him back in sometime soon.
You know what it was? It was he was working the Golden Knights games. That's what it was.
So today he's going to be a grump again.
He was working for a station in China.
Really?
That's what he told me. He was working for a station in China that has...
They broadcast the Stanley Cup Finals.
100 million people watching it over in China, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Watching it? Is it a radio station?
Well, no, it's a station, like a television station.
Oh. They put a radio guy on a TV station?
It's China, man.
All right.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave and Mahoney, top of the morning to you both. So I watched Rain Man last night, and it got me thinking. Would Dave be Tom Cruise and Mahoney be Dustin Hoffman? Or would it be the other way around? Hey, Sylvia. Hi.
Message deleted.
Boy.
I don't think either of us.
You watched Rain Man last night?
I mean, it's a great movie.
Sure.
I don't think either of us have the like level of OCD that
or Dustin intelligence.
Yeah. The Dustin Hoffman.
Level of cool of Tom Cruise. That'd be bad casting.
Take the worst out of both of those two, throw them together, then maybe.
Yeah.
But at least we're way taller than both.
Way taller.
I mean, like,
we got that going.
Like,
for
Tom
us.
Cruise is like 5'5".
We can work on our acting craft. Yeah. They can't get taller, so.
Yeah. You can wear all those wigs you want, Tom Cruise.
You can jump on as many couches as you want, buddy.
You're going to have
still
to wear
gonna
some,
be short.
Going to have to wear some stilts.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Well, guys, that's it. We lost the Stanley Cup. But, hey, what did I expect, right? First franchise team in history to make crazy records like we did. Knights, the whole city's proud of you, boys. Go, Knights, go.
Message deleted.
Ivan the Blind Mexican, very eloquent as always.
Yeah,
man. The whole city is very proud.
I am so glad that, you know, the way that the Knights perform, but there's a part of me that says I'm kind of glad that we didn't.
Yeah, it's like when you peak in high school, right? It's like when you're the coolest kid in high school, and then you go to the 20-year reunion, and that guy's always a fat, drunk slob because he peaked too early.
Yep.
You know, you got to go through a little bit of adversity. Mm-hmm. To
and
really
not that we hadn't
it.
Experienced adversity in this first season as a city and all that, but
a team, like it was almost too much of a Cinderella story.
I think this is like Rocky, man.
Yeah.
This is the story of Rocky.
Yeah.
We're coming back next season, Rocky 2. We know what happens in Rocky 2. Spoiler alert. He beats Creed. I know, I'm sorry, guys.
Whoa.
He beats Carl Weathers. That fantastic mustache.
Such a great mustache. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that this just adds to the character of the Golden Knights, and everything about season number one is something to be proud of, including the way that the fans supported the team. I mean, the way that the whole city rallied behind the Vegas Golden Knights. It was awesome.
Yep, it's a real thing of beauty, and I hope a lot of other we've set the bar incredibly high for the other expansion.
Good luck with your expansion, Seattle.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
It's top stories! Here's what's making news.
What's the bad about it, Dr. Jimmy Boy?
So just incredibly sad news this morning. Wake up to find out that Anthony Bourdain has reportedly taken his own life.
Yeah.
61 years old. He was found in his hotel room. And, you know, this comes on the heels of earlier this week losing another high profile
Kate Spade
to suicide as well. And it's so sad, man. I mean, you see all these people that have unlimited amounts of success and money. And a lot of times that's the barometer that we set ourselves up for, right?
Yeah.
You're like, if I just had a little bit more money, I'd be happier. If only I had this success in my career or whatever it may be. And, you know, we just see time and time again that doesn't matter. People that are really, I mean, Robin Williams, Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington,
people
just name a few.
Universally beloved.
In the past 18 months, and they're just gone.
You know, it's just like how the mind works. It's your worst enemy sometimes.
Suicide is now the 10th leading cause of death.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Here in the United States, which is insane.
You think about all of the terrible diseases that are out there from, you know, heart disease to cancer and everything else.
Cancer, yeah. And they're saying it's up 30% over what, just 20 years ago. So, you know, it's, I don't know if it's being reported more because you think about like 35 years ago, 40 years ago, or when our parents were growing up, you know, you would hear about somebody passing, but they wouldn't say why or, you know, because it was more of a.
It's more hush hush.
Well, it seemed like more taboo.
Oh, certainly.
Certainly.
Well, back in the day.
And mental health is still taboo compared to
it's hard for people to talk about.
Yeah, regular health of your body.
Yeah.
I mean, you have your arm is broken and everyone's going to be like, oh my God, you need to get to a doctor. But to admit that, you know, you're struggling with whether it's depression or anxiety or whatever it may
because
be.
Because people can't see it.
They can't
That's
see
why.
It.
And they don't, they
and people
might
that
not
don't
believe
suffer
it.
From it don't appreciate it because it's not a pain that they've experienced before. So it's just really sad because Anthony Bourdain, obviously a massively talented guy.
Did a lot here in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Big
fan of the city. He was here a lot for a little
bit. Huge UFC fan.
Tons of different events, yep.
And saddest part, you know, leaves behind a young daughter. You know, and that's just, man, that breaks my heart.
So Caesars is planning a $375 million conference center on Las Vegas Boulevard. It's going to be called, very clever here, the Forum Meeting Center.
Okay.
It is planned on the 29 acres behind the Link, Harrah's, and Flamingo. The proposal calls for a 550,000 square foot facility consisting of over 304,000 square feet of ballroom space with supporting pre-function kitchen and service areas to go along.
Well, what's going on with the parking situation there?
What?
No, I mean, you're adding 500,000 square feet of conference center. I just want to know, is parking prices going to go up? Is that what's going to happen?
Talk about the conference center first.
Just Uber, man. Yeah.
No,
cares,
man,
about you having to park.
No, I want to drive my own damn car, Dave.
The MSG Sphere Arena is also expected to open in 2020 alongside this new Caesars Forum Meeting Center. And, of course, the Raiders Stadium is opening in 2020. Mm-hmm. The Resorts World is supposed to be opening in 2020.
I believe that when that happens.
They're working out there, though.
I mean,
They're working out there pretty fast and furious now.
We'll see.
They're putting some stuff up. Yeah. I drove by the other day.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, 2020 looks to be a really big year for Las Vegas Boulevard specifically and the surrounding area with all the stuff that's supposed to be going up and being completed and opened in 2020.
All complaining aside, I do like that we are continuing to expand our, you know, our conference presence here in Las Vegas. I mean, just the fact that we are going to have probably more conference space per capita than any other city in the United States just makes it all the more, you know, we can host two monster conferences or three monster conferences all at once.
And there's something about conferences coming to town. It makes you feel good because, you know, those people spend money.
Hell
but
yeah,
they're also very non-threatening. You know, it's like you see a gaggle of 350 nerds wearing their badges walking around the Venetian. You're like, oh, you guys.
Yeah.
You're not going to be causing any trouble here, are you?
You guys are fun.
You just do. You enjoy your meetings.
He's like, I'm gonna get wild tonight. I'm gonna smoke a cigar.
Don't you do it, Carl? Don't you do it?
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X 107.5.
There is so much that I'm gonna miss about hockey going on, and it's not just, of course, that we're in the hunt for the Stanley Cup. That was awesome. It was a rallying cry for our entire city, and the way that the people would get together, go to the downtown Las Vegas Event Center. Mm-hmm. There's watch parties all over the city. It was such a great time.
So much energy and so much fun.
It never really felt like people were being greedy about it either. Yes, there's people that were having big parties and I'm sure making plenty of money, but it never felt like a money grab. Like everyone genuinely, in my opinion, was throwing a party because they wanted everyone to get together and have a good time.
And the cool thing is when you were traveling too, you know, you did a lot of traveling in the season, so did I. Like if you're wearing a Golden Knights shirt or a hat or any sort of memorabilia, you would always get a random Go Knights Go wherever you're at.
Did it confuse you the first few times it
yes.
happened? You'd be standing there at an airport, or I was at the state fair with you mm-hmm. up in wherever that is, Overton.
Yep.
And some girl runs up, she's like, Go Knights Go, and I'm like, ah! Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Golden Knights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I'm wearing a Golden Knights shirt right now.
And there's no, like, I don't know if we'll see this in years to come or not, because, and I hope not, but, you know, seeing everybody get on board so early, there's not like this gatekeeping, like,
I've been a fan forever.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
I like that you're not a real fan, blah, 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 because you weren't born and raised here, or all this other, you know, none of that. I didn't get a lot of that.
No, everyone is on board with the Golden Knights, and we have all been there since the beginning.
Yep.
At this point. So really, really awesome stuff for the Golden Knights. Very proud of them. Sadly, though, the season has now come to a close. That means that Ian's Golden Adventures also done for this season. Ian, you have talked to a lot of really wonderful people this year.
Oh, it's been such a good season. And Mahoney, I like how you brought up how it brought everybody together, because in this clip here, I speak with two gentlemen. One of them is a 36-year resident of Las Vegas.
Awesome.
So he was originally a San Jose fan. And then the gentleman after actually is a transplant, like many of us here. He's from Florida. And we just talked about the season. And let me tell you, last night at the end of the game, it got a little emotional for everybody. You could really feel just the sadness, but then again, at the same time, just the joy of knowing that we were all in this together. I'm sorry to get sentimental, but I was getting emotional.
No, it's kind of like when your kid goes off to college. Like, you're sad, but you're so happy and proud at the same time.
It was great. And I'm from Chicago, so I'm used to the underdogs, especially with my Cubs and everything. So to see something like this happen, I'm so honored, and I'm so happy to have talked to everybody, and I cannot wait for next season.
For one final time this season, Ian's Golden Adventures.
right, so I saw you taking a picture over by Stoner's jersey over there.
Yeah, we love it. We love it.
Wait, what do you mean by we?
My whole family.
Did you get stoned before you came here?
Yeah, we do. We always do.
So how you feeling about the whole Golden Knights season, man? You're born and raised in Vegas.
Born and raised in Vegas. I love it here. I've loved hockey my whole life, and I'm just so glad to see that we finally got a team. All these kids are out here. I'm having so much fun playing with the kids and having fun with the adults, just having a good time.
You've been here your whole life.
Yep, whole life, 36 years.
You realize this is a desert.
Exactly. I used to go to Santa Fe as a kid, and I used to wonder about this my whole life. Like, why do we got this ice rink in the middle of the desert? But we got Go Knights Go Now, so we're good to go.
I am down here for Game 5, Stanley Cup Finals, and I've met a couple of friends. How are you, man?
Hi.
Are you from Vegas?
Well, originally from Florida. Well, the county that I'm from is Palm Beach County, the land that gives us Rush Limbaugh, that particular part of South Florida. It's a rather interesting place.
How do you feel about the Golden Knights this whole season?
I could say, having been in and out of Vegas over the years, I'm awestruck by the fact that you got a town in the desert, the Mojave Desert, that has a hockey team. My friend and I were heading over to Fremont Street, where all the interesting personalities are.
Well, do me a favor. If you see Naked Cupid, Naked Joe, Sandy the retired stripper, Gene Simmons in a Rascal scooter, and a couple other ones, if you see them, tell them Ian says hi, okay?
Ian from 107.5?
You got it.
And what's the tagline for 107.5?
We're so sorry.
We are just getting paid for it. I can't do this.
It's Top Stories.
So here in Las Vegas, American Ninja Warrior is going to be doing their finale for their 10th season, and you can get free tickets. Only thing is that it's going to be happening overnight, so it's going to be June 18th, so coming up in just a couple of weeks. And the audience is going to need to be there from 12:30 a.m. until 2:30 a.m. Taping returns 7:30 p.m. on June 19th and 20th with new audiences at 10:30, 12:30, and 2:30. Free tickets for the tapings are available while supplies last. And I actually have some family coming into town. My nieces and nephews are coming in during that time. Yeah. They're huge fans, so I think I'm going to take them down there to the set so they can at least see it. I don't know if we're going to hang out and actually watch one of the tapings because it gets kind of late.
I love some Ninja Warrior, though.
But yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is.
Did you see the Jurassic World collaboration they did?
No.
Yeah, they made the whole Ninja Warrior set into this collaboration with Jurassic World. And Pratt was one of the hosts for the show. It's pretty awesome stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and our old friend of the show, Matt Eisman's still the host on that show.
Matt Eisman's great. He tours around the country. He does his comedy. Really funny, likable guy. And the fact that he's been the host forever and that thing just keeps rolling on now in its 10th season.
Happy for the guy, man.
Yeah, he's great. Matt Eisman's an awesome
dude. What we had him on originally for was it Sports Soup on the Versus Network, I think?
Oh, God, something like
that. Do you remember? That was like 10 years ago.
At least. So it was when The Soup over on E! Was huge, when Joel McHale used to host that.
Yeah.
They had a sports network that eventually became NBC Sports Network that was called Versus. And he did a knockoff of that on...
It's pretty good.
It was funny-ish, you know?
Yeah. Parlayed into American Ninja Warrior, man.
It worked out for him. So Matt Eisman, awesome guy, though. And I don't know if you know this about him, is a real doctor and actually stopped being a real doctor because he wanted to pursue just being a stand-up comedian.
I'd much rather be a comedian than a doctor.
Well, he comes from a family of doctors. He went to school. I think he went to like Princeton or some Ivy League school.
It was a big school, yeah.
And got himself, you know, his medical degree and was actually a practicing doctor and then went, you know what? I think I'm going to tell fart jokes instead.
It's worked out.
Because now I know it causes farts.
That's right.
Yeah. So Starbucks has raised their prices and everyone's thrilled. It's not a lot, but I mean, still, it's just nickel and diming us, right? So just a small brewed coffee used to be $1.95. Now it's $2.15 in most locations. So, you know, it's starting to just go up 10, 20 cents and everyone's kind of like, hey.
It's like Taco Bell, man. I remember tacos were 59 cents, man. 59, 79, 99. Now tacos are $1.29. You can't rhyme with that.
Do you realize that this is how it starts? So, like, this is what makes us old?
Yes.
When we start reminiscing about how cheap tacos and coffee at Starbucks used
like
to be.
Like people when they reminisce, like, how cheap gas used to be.
Uh-huh.
And now it's well over $3 a gallon.
Yeah,
we're at, what, $3.50?
Yeah, it's awesome. Ugh. They're saying that it actually may slow down some summer travel this year because gas prices are starting to get up so much.
Yeah.
The other day I filled up my car and it was close to the 0 mile mark.
Yeah.
But it was over $80. I was like, oh, awesome.
Oof.
Neat.
Ouch.
It wasn't even premium gas or anything. It was just the regular.
87?
Yeah, 87. I was like
$80 on 87?
Yes. Brutal.
Ouch.
So Facebook has another issue with their privacy. They accidentally set about 14 million users' profiles to public. So if you were, you know, venting about your boss on Facebook these past couple of days, maybe just double check you weren't one of those people that accidentally got set to public.
But they want to have their whole news section.
Yeah. They're going to start rolling out a bunch of new innovations and news programs and everything else. Yeah. Okay. So Facebook accidentally set 14 million profiles to public, and it happened between May 18th and May 22nd, but they're just starting to notify people now. So,
would you guys be interested in a social media network that you had to pay to be on?
I don't think I need another social media network.
Well, I mean, even if like you had to pay, I wouldn't.
Facebook is exhausting.
Ads. Let's just say there's no ads.
Okay.
Everybody knows who they're dealing with. There's no fake profiles because you have to pay.
Okay. You know what? Right. That's actually compelling. If you had a social media network that had a guarantee of some sort that they were constantly policing against fake profiles, that would be interesting to me, because Twitter is so loaded with fake bot accounts that are just trying to stir discourse. And then the same thing with Facebook, you know, there's just a lot of accounts on there that are purchased and they're paid for and they're trying to drive a message. I don't need somebody to tell me how to think.
The troll bots are just insane.
It's exhausting.
Like, I'll see the comments and I'll just see like just one person just stir the pot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that has to be fake.
So you're like, if you want to break even, if you want to have a company that was making the kind of profits that Facebook does, you would have to pay about $60 a year. So you're worth about $13.50 every single quarter here in America to advertisers on Facebook. So, I mean, you break that down.
Joke's on them. I've never bought anything because of Facebook.
Well, it's just it's the ads that are delivered, you know, and so forth. I think I would do it. I would, because I'm tired of, you know, and I feel like if you're paying for it, you might feel like, maybe this isn't a place that I'll take. It'll have more value than, you know, something that's just free and everybody and their mom and grandma is on it. And
just right now, I'm just so tired of social media in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm constantly on it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I'm exhausted by it.
What is your go-to social
Instagram
media?
Is my favorite.
Yeah, mine is
too. Although the algorithm just pisses
me off. It's stupid.
Oh, it's awful.
And they came out the other day and they said they're never
going
back.
They're never going to change it back to chronological.
And that's a Facebook thing too. So it's like, you're the worst. You are a cancer upon our society, Facebook. I believe that. I think that the world is a worse place because of Facebook.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I could definitively say that.
Do you remember when you used to have to work your whole life to get to a point where people would hear your opinion?
Yeah.
You'd have to be like, you know, Dan Rather would have to, you know, spend like 40 years like reporting in war zones, and then finally he would get his own show.
They tied him to a tree. Yeah. When it was a hurricane.
Yes.
He had to do that for 20 years.
There was like a litmus test. Well, that was the craziest litmus test ever in order to get to a point where people would actually listen to your opinion.
Well, that's just like to weed people out. Like people who shouldn't be talking about or, you know, expressing their opinion, like just like weed them out.
Yes.
Because you don't need to hear them.
You used to have to work your ass off in order to actually have a platform. And now everyone thinks that they have a platform and everyone's opinion matters. And frankly, like our opinion doesn't matter. Most people's opinions don't matter.
We're normal people.
Yes.
Nobody
really cares what we think.
We're not changing the world.
They're like, shut up and play a song.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right, let's do the blooper reel. This is always the highlight of the week for us, where we get to showcase how wonderful we are at our job. We have a pretty simple job.
Yes.
Talk.
Yep.
Don't not talk.
Mm-hmm.
Don't not talk.
Don't not talk. And
oh my God.
Don't screw up what you're trying to say.
Don't not talk.
Don't
man.
Not.
Don't not
double
talk.
Negatives.
Here is today's all new blooper reel.
Don't not talk. It's the
that's the blooper reel. So there's this is the great state of Nirvana, Vermont. Nirvanta.
Nirvanta.
So there's this the great state of Nirvana. Krispy Kreme will give you a free donut for walking into the store. No purchase necessary.
See, I think I would take Krispy Kreme over a walnut donut or Walmart donut.
A Walmart walnut donut?
Yeah. See, I think I would take Krispy Kreme over a walnut.
I don't live extravagantly by any means of the, you know, of the word. Extravagantly. By any may means the you know, of the word. Floyd has what, one sponsor, if that, like some watch company?
Hublot.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. It's just disappointing because I just hate Floyd Mayweather so much. He's such a bad person.
And he's number one.
It's just disappointing because I just hate Floyd Mayweather so much. I accidentally sent my boss a text message meant for my boyfriend where I was ticked off at him and had several choice words for him and went on and on about how awful he was. Text message meant for my boyfriend.
This chick's a badass.
Yeah, just a bomb into it's a foul ball. Text message meant for my boyfriend.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
If getting naked and hitting somebody over the head with a gator is wrong, well, I don't want to be right. It's the Redneck Report.
As we fire up today's Redneck Report, Mahoney is popping the beer.
You
got it. All right.
Okay.
Beer for breakfast isn't coming up for a couple hours, but, you know, it's Friday and Vegas Golden Knights, a big cheers to them for a great season. So why not have some beer early on a Friday morning?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it here. A 23-year-old guy named Travis Briley from Danville, Kentucky, was pulled over while driving in Clearwater, Florida.
Okay.
Turned out he had a suspended license, so he was arrested, and cops searched his car. And they found a hatchet hidden between the driver's seat and the door.
Ooh.
And when they asked him why he had the weapon in the car, he told them he needed it for protection against, quote, the scumbags in Florida.
That seems pretty accurate.
Cops should be like, agree.
Yeah, okay.
Agree.
Go on your way, sir. Have a good day.
This next guy.
Oh, wait, that was it?
Oh, that was it.
I thought he was going to be like, maybe he was on his way to an ICP concert.
Nothing.
Just for the scumbags in Florida.
All right.
Fair enough.
This guy is impressive and totally irresponsible. So Michael Tonkin has pleaded guilty to vehicular assault and is sentenced to 24 months plus one day in jail. Tonkin and his female passenger were under the influence of alcohol, having relations naked while he was driving with a baby in the car.
What? God.
How are all those things happening at once?
So they got into a crash on November 22nd. Witnesses reported seeing both of them emerge from the car totally naked. Tonkin, 22, suffered a wrist injury. The 22-year-old woman in the car was not wearing a seatbelt, obviously. Suffered a broken pelvis and was having trouble breathing. Her 3-month-old baby girl in the back seat was unharmed, thankfully, she was in a car seat. Tonkin had 3 prior convictions for DUI.
At 22?
At 22.
At 22.
What a clown.
Yeah, this guy's the worst.
It's all downhill from here.
Driving drunk, naked, while having relations with somebody with a baby in the back seat.
Real piece of work.
Classy.
So only 2 years in jail? That's honestly, I think if you're 22 years old, you've got 3 DUIs and you just got into a crash where you injured somebody else.
A broken pelvis is serious stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's a baby.
And then there's a baby there on top of everything else, as if it couldn't get somehow worse.
Yeah, I think 2 years is not enough.
That seems a little lenient in my opinion.
Kevin Taylor Jones, 48, is listed in jail records as a valet. He was arrested for a burglary felony, grand theft auto, criminal damage of over $1,000, along with a misdemeanor DUI for himself. About 2:30 a.m., he took a cab to a towing company, stiffed the driver, jumped the fence to get the impounded Mercedes-Benz, had been recently towed from a parked area illegally, he said. Jones then drove the silver Mercedes-Benz through the lot's locked gate. Police quickly caught up with him and arrested him. Blood alcohol content, 0.162. So
that's not too bad.
Double the legal limit, though.
I mean, it's double, but that's not all too bad.
It's unclear whether or not this man actually owned the Mercedes-Benz, but he certainly had the keys to it. So he either stole them from the valet or he owned the car and just wanted that damn silver Mercedes.
I can understand his frustration of wanting to get his car back, and especially dealing with a lot of companies that impound your car.
It's never fun.
Have you ever had anybody here had their car impounded besides me?
No. No.
Ian, no?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, thank you. I'm not the only degenerate.
I left it in there.
You did?
I just left it in there, yeah.
You never got that car back?
No, I never got the car back. I owed money on it. They auctioned it off, and it was more money than what I owed.
Did
so
they pay
it was a
off
wash.
The, they paid off the lien?
Yes, it was a wash.
All right.
It was all good.
Good for you.
One of my roommates, back when Homie and I used to live together here at the radio station, our other roommate, actually, no, it was Homie, who backed my car out one day. We were moving something in through the garage, and he backed my car out.
And they towed it in your neighborhood, right?
On Christmas, he backed it out into like the middle of the street and forgot about it.
Oops.
And so a tow truck company came like on Christmas Eve and picked it up, and it was $650 to get my car back 3 hours later.
Dang.
So yeah, a lot of those companies can kick rocks, man.
Sometimes you got to drive through a gate.
Yeah.
Suzette Ruth Martin, 50 years old, had been driving a golf cart out of a garage when it slammed into a nearby landscaped area about 8 p.m. on Sunday of last weekend. She tried to move the golf cart forward, and her passenger was thrown out.
Yeah.
Martin, when the authorities caught up with her, said, "Guys, yes, I've been drinking, and yes, I may be a little bit drunk, but I've only had 14 or 15 beers."
I mean, that you should be well within the range of operating a golf cart, right?
14 or 15.
Who hasn't had 14 or 15 beers in a golf cart?
I mean,
that's why they only go 7 miles an hour.
Tops.
Have you ever fallen out of a golf cart?
Of course.
Oh, boy.
Well, if you remember back when we first came back, and it was about almost 10 years ago now, 2009, we were doing the Balls on the Green golf tournament that X1075 used to do many years ago.
Many years ago.
We are no longer allowed to do because of...
because of that?
No, because, not because of what I did, other legal ramifications, but
come
there
at
was.
Me. Come at me, bro.
We were at Sienna Golf Club, which you all might know. Very nice golf club.
Yeah, right off town center there.
And I was the beer ambassador. This is before Dave and I golfed.
Right.
And we were out handing out beers.
We would just drive around the holes and just hand people beers.
We had hundreds of beers on strapped to the back of the car.
We were the beer fairies. Everyone loved us.
Aww. And then on top of that, so everybody we would stop and give beers to want to slam a beer. You know, and you're playing in our golf tournament.
Who are we to say no?
Yes. And then you compound that with, like, every four holes, there was a, like, a liquor stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I
wrecked a golf cart off a ravine.
So he drove it, like, you know, the big rocks? Like, he drove it down into the big rocks, and he got stuck. And he was so drunk, he didn't want to get out of the golf cart to actually try to get it unstuck. And so this group of listeners came along, and they were trying to help him get the golf cart out. But he was still sitting in the seat, calling them all the P word, because they couldn't lift him out of the ravine. In the golf cart, even though he wouldn't get out of it. He's like, "I have it in reverse."
Oh, my God.
And then the next group showed up, and they got him out. And he's like, "See? They were a bunch of weenies."
I was right. They did not appreciate me.
They did not. No.
No, they did not.
Anyway. How does that have to... Oh, yeah. Golf carts. Drunk. Got it.
Yeah.
All ties together.
Dave and Mahoney. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So the Vegas Golden Knights season is in the bag, and what an incredible season it was. No one that I've talked to has been disappointed in the outcome other than the fact that it would have been the fairy tale Cinderella story in all of sports history if they had actually won the cup.
Dave, you can't win it on your first try. We have to do the Rocky method. You know,
That's right.
Have a great, amazing first season. You get really close because all those games, very, very hard-fought games by the Vegas Golden Knights, and we'll come back season number two, and we'll beat Apollo. We'll whoop Carl Weathers' ass.
This whole season, Ian's been out and about throughout the city of Las Vegas talking to people for something we called Ian's Golden Adventures. And he would get, you know, individuals talking about the games, just sort of trying to capture the excitement that this city, that we've all been feeling as this season has gone on and then getting into the playoffs. It's just continued to get more and more awesome every single step of the way. Ian's Golden Adventures, this is the best of from these past several months.
I don't know if you've heard, but our hockey team is actually doing pretty well.
The Ducks. Isn't it the Ducks or like the duck thing?
Who are they playing?
Golden Knights are playing. Oh God, who are they playing? I have no idea.
Norm MacDonald, what position does he play?
He's a forward.
I could have swore he was a goalie.
I watched him like the other night.
Derek Whibley.
Center.
I'd have to agree with that.
Now, how do you think this next game's going to go?
Final score, I'm going to say Golden Knights 15, other guys 0.
Hi, Kylie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
You got a lot to show.
I was shaking that booty. Thank you. I'm a little blessed.
I have a couple of names here. I just want to see if you can pronounce them.
Okay.
Here's the first one.
Flurry.
All right, one for one. How about this one?
March Assault.
Wow, and I kind of grazed your boob there also. I'm sorry about that.
It was really hard.
Last one, what do you think this says?
Hit it!
All right, so do you have hockey in Europe?
That sounds like German. We're getting Vegas Golden Knights tattoos.
Where are you going
to
get it?
I don't know. I need to hide it somewhere so people at work can't see it.
Well, wait. I have the perfect spot. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Right on your butt.
Yeah. On my butt.
Mom, put it right on her bum.
She doesn't like needles. She doesn't like pain, so the bum.
Put it right on the bum. This is Las Vegas's own Ross Mahoney.
I've heard his show. He's a guy to go for, so I have to give a shout out to him.
All right, stop kissing Ross Mahoney's ass. On a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of attractiveness, what do you think?
I hit it. Oh, did I say that out loud? What?
That's my other side, but you know, hey, I love white boys, but you know, ain't he a little thick? Okay.
All right. Well, between the two, old man or my boss?
That probably looks like his father. Is that Pops? That look like his daddy. Is that Papa Mahoney? You tell Papa Mahoney, I said, Ola, como estas, konnichiwa.
Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's Top Stories.
So after the game last night, Gerard Gallant did not really want to talk about the game. And you know what? I can't really blame him. Obviously, the game did not go the way that the Vegas Golden Knights were hoping, the way that any of us were hoping. And afterwards, he was like, you know what? It's over for right now. Let's not discuss it.
Yeah. We had an outstanding year, but it doesn't feel like it right now. So, you know, obviously we'll get to that in a few days' time, but I didn't talk to the team after the game. They don't want to hear me after the game. They're pretty disappointed and dejected, obviously, but, you know, we threw it out all up. You know, we worked hard tonight. We competed hard and just couldn't beat that team. They were a good hockey team. They deserved a Stanley Cup. They were the better team in the series, and they played great hockey.
Is there anything you have to say about just what happened in the third period or just something?
I don't want to talk about the game, Shang. The game's over. They were the better team. They won. So they deserve to win. They played great hockey.
Still so much to be proud of with the way that they played this season. And even though the Capitals won it last night, the Vegas Golden Knights did so much for the city these past 8 months. And the good news is because they made it so far into the finals, only a couple of months, 4 months, and hockey season is back.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's like a blink of the eye.
So this is another crazy sports story, but in a much different way, where the Golden Knights have nothing to be ashamed of and should be very proud of what they turned in this past season. Maybe not so much for the president of basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers.
This is the most, I would say, out of all the sports stories of the year, this is the second craziest sports story. Right behind the Golden Knights.
Brian Colangelo is the president of basketball operations for the 76ers. So way up the food chain when it comes to that organization. And it was revealed that he had numerous fake Twitter accounts.
I love this.
What?
So he had to resign yesterday because he had numerous fake Twitter accounts that went by Eric Jr., Still Ballin, Enough Unknown Sources, and Honest Abe. And on his fake Twitter accounts, he would talk trash about other people on the team.
Oh, my God.
So he would talk trash about players and personnel on the organization.
He would let out stuff about people failing physicals. He was, like, poking, you know, like stuff that you shouldn't know, like a fan or even a reporter should not know this inside information. And he was using these Twitter accounts to try to, like, further his agenda on players that he liked.
You're the president of basketball operations.
Exactly.
Like, figure it out. Just be an executive, man. Like, to be trolling people on Twitter when you're the president of the 76ers is insane.
How do you get to that level of success and you still give a damn about what people on Twitter are saying? After going through what we just did on Twitter this last week.
Sure.
You know, dealing with all the trolls who are mad at us about, you know, the awful things that NoFX said. You look at all everybody who's talking trash, they don't matter. Like,
of course
why
they don't.
Do you care about what nameless, faceless people and accounts on Twitter have to say about you? It's like,
and normally it is actually some faceless dweeb,
yes,
who's hiding behind a fake account, and it's either a troll or it's just somebody that doesn't matter at all, but they're not even willing to put their real name out there.
Yeah.
Because they should be ashamed of what they're saying, and they are.
Yep, and that's why it shouldn't matter. And the guy, I can't believe that. I mean, this has got
to
be the end of his career, right?
You'd think so.
Or at least at the professional level. I mean, you could maybe go over to like Europe or go up to Canada, but
I can't imagine.
In the basketball world here domestically, you'd think he has to be done. Yeah. So this is good news. Wynn and Encore are going to ditch their parking fees. So going there, the first hour was free previously, and then it was $7 for 1 to 2 hours, $12 for 2 to 4, $15 a day for anything more than 4 hours in self-parking. But now they've said, if you're a local and you go to the casino and you spend more than $50, so if you go to a restaurant or do anything, you're able to get validated, and that includes gambling, from my understanding of it. And then also, if you're a guest at the hotel, you're not going to have to pay for parking as well. So I like to see this after a couple of years now of everyone starting to charge ridiculous fees for parking. I like the fact that they're finally turning it around, and some people are going, hey, maybe this wasn't a great idea.
That's not.
Because if, you know, you use this as an example a lot. You do a lot of, you got a lot of business meetings with people from out of town. A lot of them are staying down on strip properties.
Yep.
For you to go down to a strip property and even have a lunch
happens to me multiple times a week, because I'll have different meetings at different casinos, and normally I'm in a rush, and so I end up valeting my car.
Yeah.
And at Ari, it's like $30 to valet. It's insane.
Well, even if you're going, like, I don't valet like you because I'm not bougie.
It's not bougie. I'm just always late.
It's a little
me
bougie.
Me too. Yeah. No, I valet too.
It's a little bougie.
It's not bougie.
But when I self-park, it's still $20.
It takes 45 minutes to walk from the self-park garage at the MGM.
And then you're already running
late. Yes, you're already
like,
late.
You're not going to be running.
Mm-hmm. Nobody has time for that.
I
so, Mahoney, if you like the president of basketball operation for the 76ers trolling people on Twitter to try to get his way, you'll appreciate this as well. In South Dakota, a sheriff just lost re-election, so there's been a lot of elections going on.
Was it
on
Sheriff Dave Mahoney?
It wasn't Sheriff Dave Mahoney.
That son of a bitch.
Is it Dave Mahoney?
His name is Sheriff Lenny Grandcow.
Oh.
He,
Grandcow.
Yeah, so he,
how do you get that last name?
The polls closed, and he found out that he had not won re-election as a sheriff.
Poor Lenny Grandcow.
And that he actually had lost the election to a deputy by the name of Mark Max. He defeated him by a vote pretty substantially, almost 3-1.
Oh, wow.
878 to 331 in Tuesday's Republican primary election. And so he fired the deputy who beat him.
I ain't mad at that.
So sour.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Jeffrey Ross, David Tell in the X107.5 studios this morning. Guys, welcome back to Las Vegas. So very nice to have you.
Great to see you. Good morning, everybody.
Yes, how are you? It's been a few months since you've been in the studio.
Yeah, it's
maybe,
been good.
Maybe a few years. I don't know. It's been a long time.
You look great. You look
the same.
I'm aging at rapid speed.
No, you actually look good, man. You've been working out?
Been working out. In and out.
the old double-double,
huh? I'm trying to do a little yoga.
Yeah.
I ate well until last night. We went to some crazy diner. What was it
called? The Peppermill.
It kind of looks like a strip club. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks like a strip club, but, you know, we said we wanted, like, nachos, and they brought us the sampler, too. And now I'm like... Yeah.
Now you're regretting it?
You're blaming it on the sampler.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was fun, though.
So, Dave, I remember when I was a kid in college, you were an absolute icon to me because you had Insomniac going at the time on Comedy Central, and your job was to go around to bars and hang out with weird people.
Right.
And I was always curious how you got that job. Like with the pitch for Insomniac, was that your idea?
It was my idea.
Just to go around to bars and talk to weird people and have drinks and hang out. And that show ran for a long time, right?
Yeah. It was about like what happens after the comedy. Like, you know, you do the show and then you're in a small town, and that every town has its own nightlife. That's why, like, we didn't hit Vegas till like way later. We wanted to show like that there's fun stuff to do in Boise, Idaho, and like these smaller, I guess you can call them, you know, regional places that, you know, showing like that every town has its own party nightlife. That was kind of like what made that show special, because there was plenty of travel shows, but to hit the off the grid towns was important. And now, like, I think Vegas, which, you know, you can say one thing about Vegas, that like it's always reinventing itself.
Yeah.
And like Vegas was like, for us, that was like, you know, I guess you could say it was the Olympics, you know, because it was like too much to do here. Whereas in other towns, you know, you're just sitting there like,
you have to go seek it out.
I think the you know, the post office is opening in an hour. Let's go check that out, you know?
Yeah. Well, obviously a show that helped to define your career, but you've been doing comedy for how many decades now? I mean, forever.
I'd say for 3 decades, 30 years.
Yeah.
30 plus.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Really?
Wow, are you covering this too?
Yeah.
This is great.
Are you filming how awful this interview is so far? Is that what's
going on? I think it's great. Yeah, you got great questions, and Dave has always got the right answers.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. I feel like Jeff is sincere about everything he says. Yeah.
In this current... sounds awful.
Jesus Christ, that's hot.
What the hell's going on?
But I've been doing it for 31 years.
Yeah.
In a row?
I would say every 5 years I take off, but I still do it,
yeah,
you know, for the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm still up there.
In the current climate of 2018, everything going on, do you find comedy to be easier now or harder with the way the world works?
Jeff, do you want to handle that one?
I think it's easier because people are more eager to laugh. Like, there's so much tension in the world and uncertainty and the jokes. Like, every day you wake up and you check your news feed and Trump wrote 3 jokes for you already. So, in a weird way, comedy, you know, is a great American export. I was just all over Europe, and they get Comedy Central and Netflix, so they understand what we're going through here, and they're curious about what Americans think about stuff. So I think comedy's on a boom right now.
As comedians, what did you think of Michelle Wolf's take on the correspondence?
Oh, I was appalled. I think she should be fired.
She is one of the best joke writers. That's one of the hardest gigs out there, I'd say, that thing. But watching her every night at the Comedy Cellar in New York and just seeing her stuff, like, she's one of the best joke writers I've ever seen. She really is that good. And that's a really difficult hang, whatever that is, there at the correspondent thing. But, like, if you go see her live, you'll see, like, why she's so good.
When you guys are writing jokes, do you, like Mahoney said, in 2018, are you, like, scratching stuff off because you're like, I just don't even want to get into that? Yeah,
I am.
Are you?
Jeff is fearless. Dave's very sensitive about offending people.
Jeff is fearless.
You know, so you've set it up perfectly where you can say anything you want. You're like, no, I'm just roasting you. That's what I do.
Exactly. I only roast the ones I love.
Yeah, yes. It's an honor to be roasted.
Exactly. That's a good point.
All right. Well, we're short on time here, but you guys are doing a show tomorrow night, 10 p.m. over at the Mirage. Tickets start at just $33.
Really? That expensive? We got to work it up, Dave.
In Vegas, that's cheap.
It's a big room. Right? It's a big room, guys.
Even the deluxe pancake buffet down at the
They start at $33, but there's like 7 of those tickets available.
That's what Dave pays for a fart joke.
You guys are getting paid. You're going to get paid one.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Magician assistant money. Am I right? You guys know Vegas.
I'll just tell you quickly our show. Yes. This is like an experiment that Dave and I have been doing as a hobby for years, and we decided to start taking it on the road because it's so much fun. We go on stage together as a team, and I've never seen anybody really do that before.
And you guys know each other well enough after all these years of doing comedy where you play off each other really well. How much of it is set up in advance, and how much of it is just
we finish improv? Each other's sentences, which is really convenient since Dave never finishes his own sentences anyway.
Yeah, because I have Alzheimer's. I'm so old.
Well, that's a fun way to end the interview. All right, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Mirage. Go see Jeff Ross and Dave Attell.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's the Friday Five.
All right, coming in as an honorable mention for the Friday Five, not quite in the Friday Five because it doesn't really make sense without all the context. We were talking about a woman that got busted with 7.2 pounds of meth that they found in an accordion this week. And so we just found it exceptionally funny to take the sound of an accordion and try to imagine what it would sound like if there was somebody on meth playing that accordion.
Yes.
And here's what we came up with. So honorable mention for the Friday Five is the methed up accordion player.
And the sad news about our awesome methed out accordion band that we tried to build on Craigslist, the listing got taken down in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it did not take long at all. And then Ian got banned from posting on Craigslist. But you know what? I would say worth it, my friend.
Totally worth it.
At least we got the message out for just 5 minutes.
All right. Coming in at number 5 in the Friday Five, this is from a recording from On Set. So Fox has this show called Lethal Weapon. Anyone here ever watch Lethal Weapon on Fox?
I've seen an episode or two. It's not great. You know,
it's got Damon Wayans. You know, you're like, okay, expectations have been tempered, right?
Yes. It's a network show. It's not going to be amazing.
But the two co-stars on the show, one of which is Damon Wayans, and then the other one is a guy named Clayne Crawford, who's an Australian guy that I've never really heard of before, but he is, according to reports, stomping around the set, causing all sorts of problems, and him and Damon Wayans hate him.
They booted him off the show. Yeah. They're replacing him with Sean William Scott. Stifler!
So the reason why they were at each other's throats isn't really fully known just yet, but it came to a head this past week when he started screaming at people. Remember the audio of Christian Bale from a few years ago?
Yeah.
But that's Christian Bale, who's, you know, arguably an A-list actor, and he came out and apologized for what he did. This guy is sort of a nobody on a network show, and for some reason, he thought it would be okay to scream at people on set, and here's the audio recording.
Shut the f*** up! God f***ing Newman! They're right here. Get somebody in here with a walkie and shut them the up. Or did we not pay for this place? If we did, shut them the up.
Why does he want a donkey in there so bad?
A walkie. But
sure, he's not talking about a donkey.
You said Sean William Scott, Stifler, is going to be replacing him.
Yeah.
Tell me this doesn't sound like Stifler.
If we did, shut him the f*** up!
That's good casting.
Right?
That's
spot
really,
on.
Yeah. Don't melt down on set when Sean William Scott's waiting in the wings.
Waiting in the wings, going to swoop in.
He will come up in there and blow up your
spot. Mr. Steal Your Ho. Yeah,
that's right.
Coming in at number four in the Friday Five is a 3-year-old Scottish girl. And I guess she learned some bad words, and she was blaming it on her doll. And she was having a conversation with her mom, and she was explaining to her where she learned these words. But they're both Scottish, and so you can't understand a damn thing either of them are saying.
And my baby did a bad word. He said, "You're grand." And so is my baby. Well, we're grandpapas.
You've got to swear.
Was that my baby?
Was it your baby at school, or was it you?
That's my baby. My baby girl did that.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
I'll scare her.
I know. She did a on my house.
What?
She did a on my house and my grandpa's. My baby did that. My baby.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
There are some times, though, where you just can't salvage it, where things become so out of control that you're trying to be funny, you're trying to have a good time, and for some reason it's just not working for you.
Yeah, there are days like that.
It happens.
And that's what brings us to number three in the Friday Five. There was this reporter that was out doing a live shot, and he was joking around with some people at a festival. And Ian, to give the visual of what this festival looked like, they had a bunch of those inflatable things, right?
It was an inflatable festival. So right. Everything you can imagine was inflatable. They had the bounce houses, obstacle courses. They had stupid hats. Everything you can imagine.
All right.
If you could blow it up, it was at that festival.
And so he was trying to make light of the fact that they were at an inflatable festival. And he was joking around with some of the volunteers that they were there And that's how things started to get awkward, and then they got even more awkward in the second clip. But here's the first one.
What kind of fun do you think you're going to have today?
Lots of fun.
Lots of fun. That's a good kind.
Helping
everybody. Celine, what do you think?
I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
What kind of fun do you think you can find here today? All kinds of fun. Bouncing fun? Yeah, I think so.
And then he started going back and forth with the two anchors that were in the studio.
There's a delay.
There's a bit of a delay, but you can also tell that they genuinely hate this guy.
You know, usually when you're talking about the world of inflation, you guys, you probably notice, is that a good thing or not a good thing, inflation?
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave?
Is inflation in our world a good thing or not a good thing?
It depends upon what the topic is. What are we talking about? Generally, inflation? If you have an inflatable boat, that's a good thing.
If you heard the word, right? But generally, when you hear the word inflation.
Not economically.
Something good come to mind?
For me, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ,
oh my
Dave.
God.
Let it go, man.
It's not funny.
It's a good concept.
Yeah. My favorite part about this, so this station is from San Diego. It's KUSI.
That's a pretty big market.
That's a big media market.
Wow, you know? All right. So I figured this was somewhere in Oklahoma or, you know, like some little teeny town.
KUSI is like the serious news station down there. You know how there's different news stations. You know, some are more focused on news, others like entertainment. You know, they're different brands, but that's like the serious news station down in San Diego. So the fact that this guy's there just assing it up, those anchors are just losing their mind. I love it, though. I love
so
that
awkward.
It's
so bad.
Cringeworthy, though.
I mean, we've all been there at some point.
I know.
But never that bad.
Coming in at number two in the Friday Five, this is a live call from a horse race. Now, you probably know if you're a horse racing fan or if you're just watching the Stanley Cup final last night, they were talking a lot about the Belmont, which is coming up this weekend. There is a horse that is going for the Triple Crown, Justify, which is exciting.
Oh,
if you're a horse racing fan, you
Justify.
It may be raining again, which would be good for Justify. And yeah, that's exciting. That's one of the premier races of the entire year. This one, I don't even know where this race took place, but I'm guessing based on the quality of the announcer, this was not one of the bigger ones.
Oh.
The horse's name, though, is what brings this clip in at number two in the Friday Five.
Cage fighter, both of these nuts, they come away together. Both of these nuts goes for the front. Outside, bang, bang, you're gone, making some headway. Final 100 yards for both of these nuts. Cage fighter trying to battle back. Both of these nuts. Cage fighter, both of these nuts rolling to victory by a head.
Both of these nuts rolling to victory by a head.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's the Friday Five.
Coming in at number one in the Friday Five is one of our favorite moments of the week. We are doing Cover Your Ears, and we stumbled across a true gem. We ended up playing the entire song at the time because we knew that it would piss off Bossy Rossi. We're not going to do that again, but we are going to circle back to this as the number one clip of the week.
I'm very excited.
Yeah,
it was a gem.
Cover Your Ears is where we find cover songs from across the internet that are performed by people in the alternative genre, and they're not good per se, but they're so bad that they are good in a roundabout way.
Yes.
And this is one of those songs. They decided that they were going to do a rendition of some Oasis and Wonderwall.
Real gem that we found. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Ian came across this one because it only had about 150 views on YouTube.
Really hidden.
And they put on the production on this. They put a lot into it.
They did. It was one of our favorites from Cover Your Ears, and here it is, number one from Cover Your Ears, one of the most horrific and yet awesome renditions of Wonderwall by Oasis that you will ever hear.
Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding. And all the lies that lead us there are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. Because maybe you're gonna be the one that saves me.
Oh boy.
That was good.
And after all, you're my wonder wall.
Oh.
Build it.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
So last night was a pretty emotional night for a lot of people here in Las Vegas, and I saw a lot of people actually shedding tears, and not because the Vegas Knights lost in the Stanley Cup final, but because the season had come to a close, and this season meant so much to so many people, and it brought everyone together here in Las Vegas like I don't think anything else ever has. We've always had this common bond, and we've always had an incredible love for this city, but for there to be a single unifying rally cry, it's really been something unique for the city of Las Vegas. I'm thrilled that professional sports are here in a big way now, obviously with what the Golden Knights were able to accomplish, seeing the Las Vegas Lights and the WNBA come into town, and then obviously with the Raiders coming as well. It just gives the city, again, that unified sense that it hasn't had before. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm very, very excited about the Raiders coming to town.
Yep.
But almost everyone that's here in Las Vegas has a football team, and some people love the Raiders already, and some people hate the Raiders already. And so there's going to be kind of a blending of fan bases until I feel like it's going to be a couple of seasons until the Raiders really become the Las Vegas Raiders.
There's a difference between being, you know, the Raiders were in L.A., they're in Oakland, they've traveled around a little bit.
A brand new team
they've
for the
sampled,
city of Las Vegas.
They sampled some options.
Right, yes.
You know, they were waiting to settle down.
Let's just say they're not wearing a white dress to the wedding.
Exactly.
All right.
Oh, you stinky.
It's probably going to be black.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, but it's not going to be a white dress.
But being Vegas born, you know, yeah, I mean, exactly. that is something that is a distinct honor that the Golden Knights have. And this whole season just could not have been more storybook. And I'm so proud to be here in Las Vegas and to be able to be a part and witness what they did.
Yeah, it's been so fun to see all of the people gathering outside of the T-Mobile Arena and at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center and filling up bars across the city. And it's something that's never happened. And we talked about this even early in the season. Here in Las Vegas, you would go into a bar even on a Sunday morning when football was on, and there's TVs all over the place that have different games, and people are cheering for whatever respective bet they've laid or whatever team they're rooting for. But for the first time ever, when the Golden Knights would be on, everyone in the bar would be cheering for the Golden Knights. Yep. And that has just never happened in Vegas.
And again, it's
before.
That unity. And it's so cool. Awesome to see.
Yeah, and it's been so cool to be a part of this season. So Vegas Golden Knights, everyone associated with that organization, all the fans should definitely hold their head high. And it was really capped off last night by the girl putting her boobs in the glass. I mean, that was just
that was.
Else.
I mean,
I don't know if she was. I don't know if she was a Vegas fan or if she was a Caps fan, but.
You know, I did see a picture of one of the players from the Caps, like, holding the Stanley Cup.
It's Ovechkin. He's holding the trophy over his head, and he thinks his whole teammate's trailing right behind him.
And then you just see the guy just, like, pointing at the girl with the boobs, and I'm like...
The whole team stops to look at the girl with the boobs, and Ovechkin just thinks his whole team is behind him as the captain while he's holding the cup over his head. Everyone's like, boobies. Boobies.
That's, you know, it's the biggest moment of your professional life.
Yep, and you're like, boobs.
But
we're so simple.
We are dumb.
Guys are so simple.
Just Neanderthals, all of us.
All right, so text us something good that has happened in your life. 73100 is the Centennial Toyota text line. We have a new feature that we're going to launch here in a couple of minutes, but if something good has happened in your life recently, we'd love to hear about it at 73100. We'll explain why here in just a moment. Now, this is kind of good, kind of bad. This is a funny story, though. There's a trooper by the name of Michael Patterson who stopped a motorist named Michael Bailey for a minor motor vehicle violation this past Friday, a week ago. When Bailey told him that he is now a retired New Jersey police officer, they started to put two and two together. It turns out, and the odds of this have to be almost impossible, but they started to explain to each other who they were, because the cop who pulled this guy over found out he's a retired police officer, and he goes, oh, you're a retired police officer from this police department. A police officer from that department actually help my mom give birth to me. She went into labor while she was driving down the road, and this police officer arrived and actually delivered me.
Hmm.
And then he went, oh, that's funny. I actually delivered a kid on the side of the road in that exact same area. Turns out he pulled over the guy that helped deliver him. Isn't that something?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Did he give him a ticket still?
Yeah,
he tased him and beat him with a billy club.
Yeah, that seems about right.
My life sucks. You never should have helped me be born.
Are we sure that that's what happened? I mean, because it's like, yeah, so if the cop's like, oh, from that one, did you ever happen to deliver a baby? And it's like, yeah, of course I did.
No, he said, my name is Michael Patterson, sir. Thank you for delivering me. And he let him go.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So if I ever get pulled over by a cop that is significantly younger than me, I'll be like, where were you born, sir? Oh, a hospital. I see. Which hospital? Yes, I was on call at night, and your mother went into labor earlier than expected.
You're like, aren't you Dave Farah?
What?
Dave and Mahoney. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
The usually very heartless Mahoney actually had an idea that has a little bit of heart to it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to do a new feature on the show called I'm Not Crying, You're Crying.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sweet.
There's a lot of bad news out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of times that people get down on themselves or they're just tired of news and they're sick of hearing all the bad news. But you know what? I find a lot of good news stories that just make me smile and or shed a tear.
Are you crying? Am I crying? No, I'm not crying. You're crying.
So this feature is all about actually taking a moment, just a brief moment in our day to share a nice story. And that's exactly what this one is. So a special ed teacher by the name of Genevieve Villacava just left $1 million to her old school for scholarships for special needs students.
Love this.
She told the school years ago that she was going to do it, and everyone thought, of course, she was joking, because who has $1 million?
Especially if you're a teacher, right?
Right.
Like, what teacher has $1 million laying around?
Well, sure enough, she, at the end of her life, ended up having $1 million because she had quietly amassed a nice fortune by... Oh. Saving her money and being very responsible with her money. Well, she passed away back in 2011, and so you're like, well, why are we hearing about this now? Because her estate has finally all been processed, and she had targeted it for the start of the 2019-2020 school year, which, of course, is next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so one special ed student seeking post-high school education, such as a college or trade school, will be eligible for a $25,000 scholarship thanks to Miss Villacava's $1 million gift, and this will go on, obviously, for years and years and years.
That is so awesome.
Isn't it great?
I'm very happy that there are going to be kids now, special need kids, that are going to be capitalizing on this scholarship. It's something that she always wanted to do. She always wanted to help out her kids, and I'm sure right now she's smiling that it's finally happened.
You know, so in a world of really negative news a lot of times and discourse and people yelling at each other on social media, there's a whole lot of good news out there.
Yeah.
And we asked people to actually text in some good things that have happened to them at 73100. And we got some here. Would you like to hear some good things that are happening to people right here in Las Vegas?
We'd love to, Dave.
Something good just happened at my job. After almost 11 years, I am going full-time finally on the 16th, which is next week. So congratulations to you. This one, you guys played my band on the radio last Sunday. First time we've ever been on the radio. We're called In Theaters Friday. It's pretty cool.
Are back playing Las Vegas again, you know, much like the Killers did, make sure to shout us out.
Mm-hmm.
724 said starting the week by landing a new job. That one feels pretty good.
Nothing more satisfying than getting a job when you've been looking for one.
Except for maybe this. 403 said just put in my 2 weeks notice, and I'm getting married in 2 months. So congratulations to you as well.
Okay.
The good thing that happened to me was meeting Sylvie in person.
That's good. No, that's good.
Is that a good? I don't think that qualifies for I'm not crying, you're crying.
I mean, you know, I cried.
F and Stefan joining us this morning. Something good happened to you?
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah.
That's unfortunate. You don't deserve good things to happen to you.
Well, it was more of my daughter than
you. We can appreciate that. All right, what happened to Blink 182 for your daughter?
Yeah, so, first off, I won tickets from you guys. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And then I took her to the show. It's her very first concert. She's 8 years old. And so I was like, well, we're going to do it right. We're going to get there early so we could be up against the front of the gate, by the front of the stage and everything, so she could see the show. We don't have to, like, you know how it is, that show.
Of course.
So she wanted to make a sign. She made a little sign that says, like, this is my first concert. I love you, blah, 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 Blink-182. And Blink-182 really is her favorite band. She, like, sang all the words the whole concert. And we're hanging out, and about three quarters through the show, they had Blink-182 security come over and yell in my ear, not whisper, but yell in my ear. It was like, hey, after this song, you and her are going to go on stage. And I was like, what? And so I didn't even tell my daughter yet, and I just kind of let her go with it. And then so after that song ended...
I thought you were going to say you didn't bring her up on stage with you. You're like, I didn't tell my daughter. I just went up there.
Put yourself down in the pit.
Give me that sign, kid.
Yes. After the song ended, I pick her up and I hand her over to security, and she's like freaking out because I'm kind of known for getting kicked out of a lot of shows.
Your daughter knows.
So she starts freaking out, and I jump over, and they bring us back up on stage, and it's real cool for her. They cleared a little cooler off, like one of them igloo coolers that have all their water and stuff.
Sure.
They cleared it off and let us sit there, and then there's these couple gals that, like, they grabbed some drumsticks from Travis Barker and gave my daughter the drumsticks, a handful of picks, gave her the set list after the show. Mark Hoppus came over and said hi to her and stuff. It was pretty awesome.
You realize that you've ruined her concert going experience forever now, right?
That's never
going to happen again.
Right? No kidding. It's never going to top that.
Well, that is a great story. Thank you for sharing, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Have a good one, guys.
This just came in. 720 said, I recently got engaged. Congratulations to you.
Aww.
Just celebrated 1 year since buying my first home.
Oh,
this one
is awesome.
Just got into Boyd Law School with a full ride.
Hell,
that kicks ass.
Hey, hey.
Hmm.
Hey. We commit any crimes.
They got us.
Mahoney is always hustling for another defense attorney.
You got to have enough, man. I got to build the dream team. OJ, except for I don't murder people.
Right. I just got hired as an EMT at a local ambulance company. Super excited to start my new career. That is some good news. And the final one here, 714 just said, my baby girl, Amelia, was born 2 weeks ago. Congratulations to you guys.
See, there's good news out there, Dave.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5. Listen for reviews of your new favorite brews.
Cheers!
Beer for breakfast. Every Friday morning at 9:30 with Dave and Mahoney on X107.5.
So you're cheersing yourself. Sylvia just took a pull of her beer, even though she's a little premature with that, and she's got a strange look on her face.
Why are you drinking before all of us?
Because I was curious.
Are you too good?
No, just curious.
To not drink with all of us? You just had to just drink on your own? We were all going to cheers. We're all going to cheers.
Cheers.
You know, enjoy ourselves some beer. I was legit curious. On this Friday, after a week of, you know, working incredibly hard and just burning the midnight oil at both ends.
It's burning the candle at both ends. It's not burning the midnight oil.
I burn the midnight oil at both ends.
Oh, that is a different story, my friend.
Midnight oil.
Midnight oil is something that you burn when you need to stay up throughout the night and work. It's a phrase from back in the olden days when you didn't just used to flip on a light switch. You'd have to burn oil to actually keep light on so that way you could do work. It's burning the midnight oil. burning a candle at both ends also comes from that same time period when you would literally run out of candle because you'd be working so late into the night.
Yeah.
These are things that we don't have to do in the modern day and age, yeah, but it sounds a lot cooler than, I was up late.
It sounds inconvenient.
I was playing Xbox till 3.
Yeah, burning the midnight oil.
My hands got numb. All right, so here we go. Into beer for breakfast. What are we having today?
Today, Dave, we are drinking the Rodenbach Grand Cru. It has 6% alcohol by volume. Today being served from a very large 750-milliliter corked brown bottle that has a best consumed by date of September 1st of 2019. So this is well within its shelf life of freshness. This beer was purchased at Top Shelf Wine and Spirits on Fort Apache and Russell. It's generally priced around $12 or $13 a bottle, which isn't too bad considering that it is a 750-milliliter bottle.
By the way, if you've never been to Top Shelf over on Fort Apache, it is a great spot.
Yeah, love those guys.
And they're always listening to X107.5. So, what up, y'all?
What up?
No, they're just always so nice every time that we go in there, and the selection is fantastic, too.
It is. It can also be found at other fine craft beer retailers across the valley, like Corey's, Total Wine, and Liquor Lineup. The proper glassware is a snifter. Serve it anywhere between 45 and 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The five categories, which we rate every single beer.
Before you get into the five categories, just one more quick thing about Top Shelf. One time I walked in there, and they were like, hey, aren't you Mahoney? And I went, why? And they were like, well, we were going to give you a free bottle of beer. And I said, yes, I am.
They're like, no, just kidding. You owe us money.
Just kidding. We're going to charge you double, bitch.
Yep, yeah, pretty much. The five categories which we rate every single beer for breakfast are look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability.
Yes.
Let's start off with the very first category in beer for breakfast today on the Rodenbach Grand Cru, which is the look. Let's all hold it up to a light and gaze upon it.
Looks like coffee. Looks like cold coffee.
Cold coffee?
Cold coffee. Like, doesn't this look like cold brew coffee?
It does.
Yeah.
Ian, what are your thoughts?
Watery coffee.
Watery coffee?
Yeah, like, it looks like watery coffee to me, but it's intimidating.
There is a darkness to it. The Rodenbach Grand Cru pours a deep, dark crimson color, which can look black when you're not holding up to a direct light source. Has a solid amount of carbonation that you can see rushing to the top, and has a solid 2 inches of off-white head.
Okay.
The next category is the smell. Sylvia, you're drinking it. You're not smelling it.
I'm smelling it.
You're drinking it.
I'm smelling
it. You're lush. Do you like the smell of this beer, Sylvia?
Ian, did you just go, ew?
Well, I think my glass smells like caca or something. Like
people need to wash your damn glasses
because
when we're done with this.
This smells like the inside of a shoe.
That's not what the beer smells
not
like.
Not at all.
No. I was going to say, like, I kind of actually like the smell to it. It's very sweet.
It's got sweetness to it.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but it reminded me of, like, a cider.
Okay. You like the nose on the stiff?
Yeah, no, I mean, you get the alcohol presence in there
a little bit,
in the nose, but also a lot of sweetness. It's very inviting.
Take another big whiff of this.
Yep.
See if you pick up any of these notes. For me, I'm getting on the nose of the Rodenbach Grand Cru some hints of sour cherry.
Sour cherry.
And
cherry.
A little bit of aged oak in there.
Now that you say the sour cherry,
sweet and sour is a fine line.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that I've ever smelled sour cherry before, but yeah, sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It kind of smells like, I mean, if you ever stuck your nose in Kool-Aid, like the cherry Kool-Aid.
Yes.
A little bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you ever did a line of Kool-Aid like we did when we were kids, because we were stupid as hell.
Woo!
I would just eat the powder.
Okay.
Did you ever? Let me ask you if you ever guys did this. Yeah. Did you ever make your own, dipping? You lick the stick and you stick it in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you just lick a spoon and then just dip it in Kool-Aid?
No, but they had those like little candy.
I can't remember, but it's like,
what are those called?
Fun dip.
Fun dip.
But you do that with Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have run out of your fun dip stick yet.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, come here, Kool-Aid pack. You're in deep trouble now.
Or you get those tubs, though.
Your mom's like, why is your mouth purple? Don't worry about it.
Don't you ask questions. Grimace is over there. Oh, boy.
He's sitting over there having a cigarette.
Yeah. All right. The next category in beer for breakfast is the taste. Let's all cheers, people.
Been
a good week. Woo. Been a good week. Cheers.
Cheers.
There we go.
Cheers to our Vegas Golden Knights, man. Yeah. One more time. Yes. I mean, I know that we've talked about that a lot on the show today, but I'm just so proud of those guys.
All right. Let's all take a big drink of the Rodenbach Grand Cru.
Wow, that goes down a lot easier than I expected. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, Sylvie, what do you think?
I think it's really good.
That's why
I had that confused face.
You want me to pour you a little more? Would you like a little more?
Oh, my.
The reason why I had that confused face, because I wasn't sure if I... God dang, dude.
Because
I wasn't sure if I liked it.
Yeah, so I mean, when you say the like the sweet and sour mix, like it's still right there on the line with the taste as well.
Yeah, because
so
there is that sourness to it.
Yeah, but
definitely a sourness to it.
You get some cherry in there, but then also you get a little bit of tartness on the backside. It's very nice.
Yeah. Ian, are you a balance. Fan of the taste of this?
I adore this, actually. Now, Mahoney, what type of beer is this categorized as?
The Rodenbach Grand Cru is a Flanders Red Ale, which originated in West Flanders, Belgium. This recipe has been brewed the same way since 1821, and they claim that this is the world's very first sour beer.
I'd love it.
Oh, well, I mean, if they've been around since the 1800s, I imagine you can kind of just claim anything you want. Yeah. We're the first beer that was put in bottles.
But like the sours that we've had before, I mean, it's not like this. I don't want to say it's subtle because you can still taste it, but it's not as like powerful. It doesn't pack like that sour punch.
It there's a little bit of a tartness to it. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts off like the nose. Like I said, there's that moderate tart that you get from the cherry flavor. It puckers the lips a little bit, tickles the tongue. The finish is a nice mix of like roasted malts and some dry oak in there, but it's a very tempered sour because this is a beer that's been around. I mean, it has been around since 1821. I mean, obviously, it's been being sold for many, many, many years. This is a beer that's been around for a long time. And
so
there's
if
a reason.
It's been around since 1821, how many years is that?
I don't know.
Come on.
No.
It's 97.
97.
All right.
It's not 97.
I don't know.
It's 100 years in 1921.
If it deals with numbers, anybody who says like whatever number, I'd be like,
Mahoney,
okay.
How many years is that?
You subtract, what is it? Three?
Like 200? 200 something.
197.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Because in 3 years, it'll be 200.
200 years old, yeah.
I don't know.
But this is a very moderate sour beer. The mouthfeel on this.
When you're trying to school somebody, but you're a stupid teacher.
It's medium body, nicely carbonated. It's got a wet feel to it. And I know that sounds like a dumb descriptor.
No, you're right, though.
But
yeah.
It has that wetness to it. The drinkability. This is not an everyday drinker for me personally, but if you're a wine drinker who's looking to get into craft beers, this could be the perfect gateway beer for you to take the plunge with.
Yes.
If you're a craft beer drinker who enjoys sours, I think this is a fantastic ale for you to pick up. If you're a big beer drinker and you know you don't like sours at all, I'd probably say stay away from this particular beer. Overall, for the style, I think this is a fantastic representation of it. And if you know that going in, I think you're going to enjoy it. Can I get a drum roll, please, Dave?
Absolutely can.
On Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy, I give the Grand Cru Rodenbach a 3.75 out of 5.
Before we close out Beer for Breakfast, we do have a couple of more pieces of good news that have come in.
Oh.
Do you want to share them?
Sure, why
all
not?
Right. I love the Golden Knights. I've watched every single game this season. Wow. I could never afford to go to one of the games. I've been a pool guy for 13 years, just joined a new company, and it's absolutely fantastic. Found out the neighbor to one of my accounts happens to be Jonathan Marchessault.
Oh, wow.
He came out in his Lamborghini and was the nicest guy ever. Made my entire year. Offered to be his pool guy. Fingers crossed, but damn, what are the odds of that?
Wow. That's pretty damn
isn't that cool.
Cool.
And then another one in reference to the Vegas Golden Knights. Last night, my 11-year-old son and I were at the game. We stayed until the presentation of the cup. At one point, my son broke down crying and me right alongside him. People were trying to cheer him up, and a Caps fan came over and asked him to take a picture with his favorite Knights fan. So my son took a couple of deep breaths, wiped his tears away, and smiled with the guy. And then I broke down and started crying all over again for my kid, setting aside his pride to show some good sportsmanship.
That is heartwarming.
That is beautiful.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Jack White is coming to Las Vegas playing a couple of shows. One of them is August 24th. That's the second show over at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan. Tickets are on sale now at CosmopolitanLasVegas.com. But we have some free tickets if you're the first person in with the correct answer for Know the Show. Here's today's question.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
Like if Bossy Rossi was ever arrested, he would sing like a canary.
Even though he knows snitches get stitches, he would still sing because he is a traitorous horse and son of a bitch.
That's right.
I thought it was snitches.
Stitches? No. Sylvia, damn it.
That's what I was told in elementary school.
No, snitches get stitches like is the correct
grade.
Saying, but Sylvia thought it was something else. What did Sylvia think that it was? 702-791-1075. Again, Jack White here in Las Vegas. Two shows has added a second one at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan. It's happening on August 24th. Tickets on sale through CosmopolitanLasVegas.com, but you are getting them for free if you know the correct answer. Let's go to the phones. X107.5, good morning. What is your name?
Glenn.
Glenn, correct answer is what?
Could you play it for me again?
No. No, we cannot, Glenn. Okay. No, we cannot. You gun jumping son of a bitch.
No, it was plain as soon as you asked me.
Right. So here's the question. The correct saying is snitches get stitches, but Sylvia thought it was something else that gets stitches. Do you know what it is?
Bitches get stitches?
That's right.
Yes.
Sorry, Glenn.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I don't know. We use that a lot in elementary school.
See, Glenn was listening. He was paying attention.
No, he jumped
enough.
The gun, man.
He did it.
He jumped the gun.
Tell me you've never prematurely done something.
Never. Not once. Not one time.
Ew.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.
Dave Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X 107.5.